Good morning, and welcome to worship at the Memorial Church. Will you please join in our responsive call to worship? Your steadfast love, O Lord, extends to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the mighty mountains, your judgments are like the great deep. How precious is your steadfast love, O God. All people may take refuge in the shadow of your wings. For you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. Come, let us set out in the light of the Lord. With sincere hearts and minds, let us confess our sins before God and one another, trusting in God's mercy to forgive, saying, Eternal God, in whom we live and move and have our being, whose face is hidden from our sin, and whose mercy we forgive. Cleanse us from all offenses, and deliver us from proud thoughts and vain desires, that humbly we may draw near to thee, confessing our faults, confiding in thy grace, and finding in thee our refuge and our strength, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And these things we say, so that our joy may be made complete. And this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Thanks be to God. May the church say, Amen. Amen. Let us join our voices to sing the hymn, O Worship the King, All Glorious Above, hymn number 22 in your Crimson Harvard hymnal, number 22.
Thank you. Christ, you said to your apostles, "Peace I give to you, my own peace I leave with you. Regard not our sins, but the faith of your church, and bring to us that peace which you share with the Father and the Holy Spirit in the heavenly city. Amen." Let us share with one another the sign of Christ's peace. Please be seated. Good morning again and welcome again to the Memorial Church. I'm so glad that you are joining us here this morning, and whether you are joining us here in our sanctuary in Cambridge or joining us via the internet or WHRB, we are so glad to have you as part of our community this morning. You are part of the church, you are the Memorial Church, and we are privileged to be with you and so glad to have you here this morning. A couple of announcements about our ongoing life together this term as we resume all these ministries that are so much a part of the church's life. Next week, October 3rd, next Sunday, we will begin two important ministries of our church. We'll resume them this fall. We'll start our Faith and Life Forum at 9:30 next Sunday in the Undercroft in the Student Oasis. We will have our Faith and Life Forum. We're also working on an online component to that as well, so keep that in mind as you think about next week. But 9:30, the Faith and Life Forum next week will resume. Also, church school will resume next week. So if you are a family with young children, please show up next week. Or if you know of one, please invite them to join us next week. Next week also, it'll be a busy Sunday. Next week also, we're going to have a congregational coffee hour over at Sparks House, the home which the university and the church provides me and my family. That's at 21 Kirkland Street, just across from Annenberg on Kirkland Street. So please, if you're here next Sunday, come to our house afterwards. We're gonna have a coffee hour on the lawn. So it'll be kind of COVID safe, and we have a tent in case it'll be rain safe also. So please do join us for some fellowship and conversation after church next Sunday. Other announcements, please do remember that the offering plates, although we're not passing the offering plates through the pews, again, for precautions against COVID, the plates are still in the narthex when you leave the church, and we still would welcome your gifts and your giving. Our grants committee, I had a wonderful meeting with Jim Lawson, who's the chair of our grants committee. Our grants committee does really, really important and work in the greater Boston area, and your giving to our offering each week contributes to that work. Also, as you've heard me say a couple of times, we are trying to, we hope to next summer, put in a new audio and video system into the church to help increase our ministry to those who are listening, from Cape Town to Canberra to Cambodia to Cambridge. People all over the world listen to us, and we want to be able to provide video as well and increase and improve that audio, not just for them, but also for you who are here in the sanctuary, to improve the audio for you as well. So please do be as generous as you can. Please do remember as you're walking out that the plates are in the narthex, and support us in this important work. In that spirit, then, we will continue with the offertory. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
Please be seated. A reading from the book of James, chapter 5, beginning at the 13th verse. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being like us, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth yielded its harvest. My brothers and sisters, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and is brought back by another, you should know that whoever brings back a sinner from wandering will save the sinner's soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Here ends the lesson.
Thank you. A reading from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 9, beginning at the 38th verse. John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him, because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterwards to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have 2 feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and to be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good. But if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." Here ends the lesson.
Thank you. us pray. Source of love, peace, and life, your people are in need of your compassion and care. We uplift to you in prayer all who need your healing and loving embrace in a fragile and hurting world this day. Creator God, your creation groans and moans for peace and stability. In a world where climate change is at an all-time high, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all those who have been impacted by the earthquakes in Australia and Haiti. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those refugees who fled Haiti, longing for food, water, and housing at our borders. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We pray for your children in Afghanistan, where the Taliban have refused to include women in their cabinet. We pray for all those who are oppressed, ostracized, dehumanized, and ridiculed. Lord, in your mercy. The global COVID pandemic continues to unveil sharp inequities between and within nations. Governments have been discredited and citizens disillusioned. May the decisions of our world leaders be informed by your divine wisdom and guidance. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Holy One, teach your people that it is okay to not be okay. As your people all over this land are attempting to navigate the pangs of this pandemic, help us to face the pain and uncertainty of the time in which we live. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. For those who mourn the year that has been altered, God, hear our prayers. For students who mourn because they will not be able to go to prom or walk across the stage in a traditional way, God, hear our prayers. For families who mourn because their family members or friends have passed away unexpectedly due to the virus, God, hear our prayers. For the pastors who mourn because they can no longer pay their staff as a result of the virus and quarantine, God, hear our prayers. For nurses and doctors who mourn because it appears that there is nothing they can do, God, hear our prayers. For nurses and doctors who mourn because they can't hug their kids after a shift at the hospital, God, hear our prayers. For friends who mourn because they miss the spirit of touch and presence. For small business owners who mourn because they don't know how they will recover. For essential workers who mourn because they're risking their lives because they still have to pay bills and put food on the table. For teachers and educators who mourn because they have to now pour out their hearts in new ways of learning. For grocery store workers who mourn because they have to put their lives at risk. For those on the margins who mourn because they don't know how they will have access to a quality health care system. As the psalmist says, "Where can we go from your spirit? Where can we flee from your presence? If we go into the heavens, God, you are there. If we make our bed in the depths, God, you are there. Hold our hand, guide us. For God, you are present in our mourning. You are present during these challenging times. As we embrace the confusion, as we embrace the hurt, the pain, the frustration, and the tears, may your people be reminded that weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. In the name of our liberator and comforter, in your holy name we pray, amen." Let us join to say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Name of the God whose love makes and saves and aids us. Amen. So as you all know, this summer my family and I moved here to Cambridge from Cape Cod, from Falmouth, where we'd been living. And a few years ago, I think Cammy, Sammy, and Danny were five and three at the time. Some friends of ours from church, an older couple who lived in a condo in town, invited us over. It was a hot summer day. There was a pool at the condo complex, and so they invited our family over to go for a swim in the pool. And that sounded great, because it was a hot day, the first hot day of summer. We wanted to go for a swim, take the kids for a swim, give them something nice to do. And on the way, we stopped at CVS or whatever and got some pool toys, right? Snorkel and mask and the whole business. And so we showed up at the pool, and it was great. This elderly woman, wonderful woman named Barbara, met us and escorted us out to the pool, unlocked the gate for us, and let us in and stay there with us. And one of the toys that we had gotten was like a squirt something, right? And so Danny, the four-year-old, whatever he was, he went right for that, filled it up and started spraying everybody in sight, including Barbara. And so we said, Danny, stop it, put that down. No, stop it. And so Danny said, okay, and then continued to squirt everybody, so we took it away. You don't get to have that anymore, that's mine. You don't get to play with this, that's mine. So then Danny took the snorkel, filled it up with water, and started whipping water at his brother and sister. And we said, Danny, no, what did I tell, that's mine, I'm taking it away, that's mine. That's over here, that's not yours anymore. And then Danny took his hands and started splashing his brother and sister. And I said, Danny! And he looked at me, and he held up his hands, and he said, are you going to take these away? And maybe what I should have said to him in response was what Jesus said. Daniel, if your hand causes you to sin. The Gospel of Mark is not doing me any favors this fall as I join you as your new preacher. I've had some tough lessons from Mark, and this is another one, these hard teachings of Jesus's, where he says, if your hand causes you to sin, throw it out, cut it off and throw it out. If your eye causes you to stumble, if your foot causes you to stumble. I think these are teachings that we need to take seriously, if not literally. I'll say more about that in a minute. What it means to take them seriously, but not literally. Because I think they are actually saying something important to us. I don't think we can just ignore them because they seem so exaggerated and frankly distasteful. To explain why I think they're important and what I think is actually going on in Jesus's admittedly heavy use of these teachings, let me give a little bit of context. You know, we have this kind of paragraph from Scripture abstracted from the whole story of the Gospel of Mark, and so it's kind of hard to know what's going on and why Jesus is speaking so harshly in this moment. So here is what has been going on in the verses preceding the verses that we read this morning. First, Jesus was traveling with his disciples, and there was a child that they could not heal. And then Jesus heals the child. Then they keep walking, and after healing this child, the disciples start arguing. Having noticed how well Jesus did healing this child when they could not heal the child, the disciples start arguing about who among them is the greatest. Which of us is the best disciple? Which is Jesus' favorite? Which is the one who will be placed in a position of power once we go to Jerusalem? And Jesus overhears their argument. He hears them saying this. And in this moment, in the midst of their argument, Jesus stops and he takes a child out of the crowd and he holds the child in his arms. And he says, whoever receives this little one receives me. So this is like a rejoinder to the argument they're having. They're having this argument about status, about who is the best, who is the greatest, who's the most powerful among them. And Jesus redirects their attention and says, stop talking about status. Stop talking about which of you is the greatest. You know the one we should be concerned about? This child. Now, in ancient Judea, children did not have significant social status. This was a marginalized person. This is a person without social status. And Jesus says, stop arguing about status. This one is the one you should be paying attention to. This one is me, Jesus says. When you receive this one, you receive me. Now that child is still in Jesus' arms when John asks this question that begins our lesson this morning. The child is still in Jesus' arms when John says, well, what about this other guy who's using your name to cure people? He's not one of us, right? I mean, there's a tone deafness to John's question. He's still preoccupied with who's in and who's out. He's still preoccupied with questions of power and status. Even as Jesus is sitting there with his child in his arms saying, pay attention to this one. And it's at that moment that Jesus flips it around and says these difficult, really terrible sayings. Cut off your hand, pluck out your eye, cut off your foot. I think given the background now, we can understand why Jesus may have been impatient, why he may have been inclined to use some exaggeration to try to get his lesson through to his disciples who seem to refuse to hear. So I really think this is hyperbole. I would not commend these actions to anyone in a literal sense. We also know from earlier in the Gospel of Mark, Mark 4:33 says that Jesus spoke only in parables. He spoke only in figures. And so we can receive these as exaggerations, as figures. But Jesus is saying something important. The fact that he's using these figures to try to get some message through the ears of his status-obsessed and power-hungry disciples, we need to pay attention to that. Now, the simple way to read these lines, in a way I don't want to read them and wouldn't like to read them, is in this sort of harsh and awful way. If you look at the wrong thing, you're consigned to perdition. If you touch the wrong thing, you're consigned to perdition. Those extreme judgments where the stakes are eternal. Again, these are hard teachings and not ones maybe consistent with the forgivingness of Christ that we also read elsewhere in Scripture. So how else might we read these teachings? The hinge of the whole thing, I think, rests upon the word that is translated in our version into English as hell. Now, the New Testament, the records we have of Jesus are written in Greek. But the word that is translated as hell here is actually a Hebrew name, Gehenna. And now we have conceptions in our head, probably you do, I know I do, of what hell is, right? Maybe it's this pit of fire under the earth with, you know, demons and whatever. But Gehenna was a place. Not that hell's not a place necessarily, right? But Gehenna was actually a ravine outside Jerusalem. South and west of Jerusalem, there was a ravine called Gehenna. And Gehenna was the place where they burned the trash. And it was one other thing as well. It was a place where King Ahaz of Judea, according to 2 Kings, 2 Kings and 2 Chronicles, it was a place where King Ahaz of Judea had sacrificed his children to the Canaanite god Moloch. King says it was one son, Chronicle says it was his sons. And he took his sons to this ravine and he set them on fire. All these lines about sacrifice and fire, seasoning with fire. Gehenna was the place of child sacrifice. It was where King Ahaz went to appease the Canaanite god Moloch, and also, by the way, to appease the Assyrian Empire, which was breathing down his neck. He sacrificed his own children for power. And Jesus makes this reference with a child in his arms. So I don't think this lesson really is about extreme asceticism or the sins of our eyes or our fingers. From beginning to end, I think it's about children, or at least about children as emblematic of those who are most vulnerable. Or more to the point, it's about what we are willing to sacrifice, who we are willing to sacrifice, how often we are willing to sacrifice the most vulnerable towards other ends. And when Jesus' choice is framed this way, again, imagine Jesus with a child in his arms and his disciples still jockeying for status. Him saying to them, if you disciples, who are so preoccupied with power and conquest and authority and status, if you are forced to choose between even your own eye and the life of a child, if you're forced to choose between your hand or your foot and the life of the least vulnerable, well, I think Jesus is saying, that's a terrible choice, but morally, it's a straightforward one. It's a painful choice, but a necessary one. A difficult choice, but a simple one. I wonder how we fare before these hard words. I wonder what we choose. I think it's easy to look back at these first century Judeans who did not give any social status to children. But Jesus is talking not just to them, Jesus is talking to us. As Calvin prayed in the prayers, today, this day, we are turning away Haitian immigrants from our border with Mexico, immigrants who have braved life, their own life and limb, to travel from Haiti through Mexico to our border. And 2/3 of the people we turn away are children or the women who care for them. This is a habit of ours. I wish I did not have to remind us of the children we put in cages just a couple years ago on that same border. I am still haunted by the image of that young Kurdish boy, Alan Kurdi, who washed up on a shore in Turkey in 2015. A few weeks ago, a drone strike in Afghanistan killed 10 innocent people. 7 of them were children. To whom were those 7 children sacrificed? And we don't need to think just internationally. In our own country, these last months, 25 million children last year did not go to school at all in this country. 25 million children did not go to school last year. This year, somewhere between 1 and 3 million of those children, we have no record of. We don't know where they went. They left school and they never came back. Now, we are in the midst of a global pandemic, and I know that there are no easy answers. I'm not suggesting that there are answers that are easy or perfect. But I do know, because I have friends who live abroad and family who live abroad, I do know that while we in this country were arguing over when and how to reopen bars and restaurants and hair salons and other places, they were trying to figure out how to open schools safely, especially to the children who were most vulnerable and needed to be in school because their homes or other circumstances were unsafe. That was the argument in other places, and not enough the argument here. If the words of Jesus this morning are hard to hear, it might not be because the choice he gives us is hard. It may be because we keep choosing wrong. Ahaz was king of Judah, and he set his children on fire. And there was a prophet in Judah at the time, and that prophet was Isaiah. Now, Isaiah prophesied under four kings, but it's under King Ahaz that Isaiah made, for us Christians at least, perhaps his most famous and most memorable prophecy. He told Ahaz, the king who murdered his own children for the sake of power, he told Ahaz that the sign of God would be a child born of a young woman, and that that child would be Emmanuel, God with us. And now we here today, we hear this child Isaiah prophesied. We hear him in our midst, this God with us, telling his disciples then and now what Isaiah already knew 3,000 years ago, what Ahaz refused to hear, and what we could still learn. The sign of God is a child, any child, every child. May we be given grace to receive and to welcome it.
Please stand to sing the closing hymn, Now Thank We All Our God, hymn number 5, found in your crimson hymnal.
peace of God, which passes all our understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the knowledge and love of God and of God's only Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, whose love makes and saves and aids us, be with you now and remain with you always.